This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I want to talk about your health. Isn't that interesting? Your health, and in terms of what's going on in real time. You know, I know we've been listening to the news and hearing about the immigration chaos on the south border. And a lot of talk is now coming to a crescendo about diseases coming into the country. And I guess people are wondering if this is a fear tactic or if this is real. Some of it is actually real. I mean, things like TB is an epidemic in South America and in the developing world, and it's become increasingly harder to treat with multiple resistance to several different drugs. I mean, people now have to have a cocktail of drugs in order to eradicate this. And notwithstanding the criminal aspect of this, which I don't think anybody in their right mind would say this is okay to not check the border, to not actually know who's coming in, to let them in and then let them loose in the country, to literally ship them throughout the United States. It's beyond irresponsible. It's lawlessness. But on a health level, this potentially could be devastating to our country. And if things like TB, and now there's a child who was diagnosed with H1N1, swine flu, if these things are allowed to just manifest in the country, where do we stand? You know, part of the show is going to talk about vaccines, because on one hand, measles, mumps, chickenpox, and all the millions of things, okay, I'm exaggerating a bit, but the dozens of things that we're immunized for now, mandatory, quote unquote, because it's mandatory, it should cover us. You know, if people coming into the country with measles or mumps should not create an epidemic unless the science behind it is flawed. That would be the only way that those particular diseases should be mentioned, because herd immunity, quote unquote, means that if most of us are vaccinated, then we shouldn't be in a position where a majority of us it should not create an epidemic. The people who come in with the measles should be the ones that get it and not spread it throughout the population. And so what anybody who's thinking critically should, I think, ask themselves is, if vaccination is so fabulous, why are we getting these, this mindset of we're under attack and we need to fear things and we need to vaccinate more? It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And what people need to understand is there's a difference between getting a communicable disease like measles and mumps and chickenpox naturally, where you actually have the problem and you go through the disease and you actually create a natural immunity to it, versus someone who gets a vaccination. They're not the same and they're not equal. Anybody who's had mumps, measles, chickenpox as a child or an adult, God forbid, is protected forever after they've come through the illness. And the chances of dying from these illnesses are really quite low, really low. And the fact that they've used fear to gin up control needs to be questioned. I mean, I'm not against vaccines in the classic sense. Technically, you can produce immunity to whatever the bacteria or the virus is by giving someone a vaccination. And you can actually, control the immune response. That's what happens when you do allergy treatment and you give someone allergy shots for things that they're allergic to, like cat dander or tree pollen or whatever the allergen is. So it does work. But when you talk about viruses and you talk about manufactured vaccines that are designed to, quote unquote, protect you, then the question needs to be asked, why are people getting sick? Now, I don't know if you read this, Dave, but a couple of days ago I read in an article that the people who were getting measles were ones, 80% of them were vaccinated. So if measles is now increasing in number and 80% of those have already received a vaccine as a child, they don't work. I mean, how can anybody say that works? You should have, if not 100%, at least a high 90% protection rate long term Why do you need a booster? Ask yourself that, because it doesn't work. Because if it does work, then it wears off. Or in some cases, when they give you these vaccines, and like the flu vaccine, for example, and they combine these viruses, studies have shown that sometimes the viruses get a whiff of this and they actually become resistant and create new versions of the virus. This happens all the time. So you're questioning now, are we creating an industry through a policy that's making us sicker because of what we're creating are tougher to kill, more deadly, and more communicable? That's a question that everybody needs to ask themselves. And anybody who's been following the CDC debacle where they infected themselves with anthrax should really, really question the government or any lab that says, we're working with weaponized viruses and it's safe. I don't believe that. They've got smallpox they're working with now. They've got, I think it's the flu virus from the 1912 epidemic flu. I mean, they're working with things that have killed millions of people, and they're trying to bring them back so they can make a quote unquote make a vaccine to them. All you need is one accident, and it gets unleashed into the community, and then there's no pulling it back. I mean, we need to really, really start thinking about our health choices and about what we need to do to protect ourselves and stop listening to the mindset or the mantra that the government loves you, that it's got your best interest at heart. Just, you know, shut up, sit down and just listen to us and it'll all be okay. I don't think so. If you ask anybody in the Tuskegee Institute, you know, that study where they gave people syphilis and then watched them die through generations because it was the government taking care of them and putting them in a study, then you need to ask yourself, or the children who were in Guatemala, I believe, or I think it was Guatemala, infected with, I don't think it was syphilis, but it was another STD. And they watched these children die. This is a very toxic system where human cost means nothing. You are just a cost center, something to be manipulated, something to be controlled, something to be used and spit out after you've outlived your working days and your usefulness. And people, the elite, the powers that be, and the people like, I hate to use names on the show, but Hillary Clinton and her statement that she's dirt poor and that she's poor me, and her daughter coming up with, what was that? I just wanted to see if I could, something about money. I can't remember what it was, but something ridiculous. So she goes and works with her parents. She's living in a $10 million house, and it's just, are you, the optics on this, do they honestly believe that they are just like the rest of us, that, you know, they're working on behalf of the people without power in this country? I really don't think so. Honey, did you laugh when you heard that?
Did you, well, Chelsea's statement was, she just never has really gotten where she's concerned about money. She could care less about money.
When you have it, you can say that.
Yeah.
That's classic. It's a classic statement.
You know, Dr. George, back to the vaccines and so forth, the thing I heard the other day, and would love for you to verify this, it's not only the things that we've been vaccinated for or against, depending on how you want to say it, but coming from Central America, I heard one doctor saying that there is better than a 50-50, you know, it's almost 100% reality that they will bring in things that many of our practicing right. physicians have never even seen.
Well, they've
read about them, maybe. But
tropical diseases.
Yeah,
I agree with that. You have to have a real facility with these diseases. I mean, you see them, you know them, you can diagnose it on the dime. We're not going to be able, for the most part, to do that before it becomes the end point of the disease, because it's so, they're so sick, and you've done all of the usual workup that's not, it's totally off the track. It's possible.
If I wanted a hothouse for disease, I'd put, say, 200-300 people on an airplane and then turn the Mixmaster on, and you could come out with God knows what on the other end of the line.
Absolutely. Or put them in a FEMA camp, you know, or these Homeland Security, whatever these guys are staying in, where you've got hundreds of people in a non-air-conditioned area. They have quarantine where they just rope it off with yellow tape, like crime scene tape. But you have people coughing and communicating all sorts of diseases in the same room with people who are healthy, who aren't going to be for very long. So you have people under stress, people malnourished, people dehydrated, young, and I don't know if there's elderly, but we haven't mentioned that yet, but there are definitely some young kids involved with this. And this is, it is a culture medium for whatever's going to come. And then they just put you on a bus, sick or not, checked or not, and drop you off at a bus depot and say, show up at court next week. Are you kidding me? Where do these guys go? I mean, from a political standpoint, it occurred to me that this is by design, in the sense that if you let people out, and this is human nature, you've got nowhere to live, you've got no food, you've got no money, and when you get desperate, you will go for whoever's convenient. And that will generate, you know, it's like a war zone situation. And will that be the answer where we finally get a police state, you know, where we finally get martial law, because somebody has to keep the peace? They're trying to disarm us. You've got people who, and you've got gang members, you've got, you know, convicted criminals coming across the border too, pretending to be families. I've heard these stories where men just join up with women and children as if they're a family, but they're actually not, but nobody's being checked. So you have this whole criminal element potentially coming through in addition to desperation and access. If someone's unarmed, I mean, these ranchers must be, I can't even imagine what it must be like having a ranch on the border. How can you protect your property? You're a sitting duck, really, for people to take anything they want and the government not protect you. Isn't our government supposed to protect us? Isn't that the point of having a federal government? Protect the borders, protect the people. They're not doing that. So, I mean, I did a talk show last Saturday, and the topic of the conversation was the government now trying to control the salt intake in fast food. So they now have a regulation or some, I think it's a regulation coming down the pipe that they're going to limit the amount of salt that can be dispensed in fast food. So what? You bring your salt shaker with you, you take the thing home and you salt the heck out of it. That is so stupid and so non sequitur. But this is what they do. They put the foot on our necks for stupid things that don't matter, and then they handicap us and make us unable to protect ourselves for things to do. And this is universal now. I mean, we're going to go over it one by one, I think, when we come back from the break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Followsniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and light weight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat 3 well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate such as a whole grain, with 2 snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, but Dave and I in the break were talking about the bigger picture here. You know, this is about a lot of things, but one of them, I think, is globalism and the North American Union. That was already signed. You know, it was already, it's done. It's a done deal. It just hasn't been implemented yet. And so to have your homeland security, your border security, literally stand down, and not only do that, and I don't have a problem with this. It's just the optics. I think if human beings are human beings, you should treat them as much as you can with respect. And so I don't want to see any child go hungry, undiapered, sick, you know, treated poor. I don't want to see that. But the fact that the government is allowing more people to come into a destitute situation and putting their lives and their health at risk, it's a crisis that they're allowing to unfold and they're creating. And people don't talk about this, but I've heard also that there is a sex ring, a sex trafficking that's going on with the young children and the young and the teens. We're complicit with that. Morally, that's very bankrupt.
Yeah, Dr. George, I hate to interrupt you, but
no?
I'm just, you know, it's like everything else. We, as a country, as an administration, as Congress, and even the state governments, with the exception of Texas, it's taking a step. But here was a crisis that we didn't know was about to happen, or I didn't know it was going to happen until I saw it on television. I believe somebody has been stated as saying, you know, we don't have a foreign policy. We don't have an immigration policy. We don't have, and we're just throwing up our hands saying, what do we do next? And
it's political. This is all political.
We can't live like this.
Listen, as I said on my show before, my father was an immigrant. I have no problems with people coming over to the country because they're trying to make themselves better, to try to improve their quality of life. There is nothing wrong with that. But there is a difference here. These people aren't coming for opportunity. They're coming to become social, part of a social system, because they don't have jobs. We don't have jobs. How are we going to give jobs to somebody coming in? These are children. Technically, they claim without parents. What are they going to end up in, foster care, in social services? Is that fair to them?
Our system can't handle it.
It can't handle us. How's it going to handle more people coming in? And the fact that you're potentially damaging someone's life forever. Someone ends up in a sex ring, in a porn, or wherever these kids might end up, or dead. Did you help them? But it's all about positioning. You want Democratic voters. You want workers. I mean, I'm no fan of the Chamber of Commerce because they once want slave labor. And what does this do to the American worker? And the union member should be all, they should be really upset. But it's, for them, it's about potential union, members. I mean, these guys are coming from sometimes a communist background. They're all for unions. They're all for labor. And so what they think is all about positioning, in my opinion. They want these guys to come in, join up to become union workers, and get into their system, which is really counter to what the Chamber of Commerce wants. They want unskilled labor who do not want to or can't join a union, who are living on the edges of society with 15 people in a house and just trying to make it work and allowing themselves to be, for no fault of their own, because they're desperate, used by big business. This is not the mom and pop with two to three employees. It's not them that's doing this. It's the big corporations. It's the people with the power, the people who are lobbying, the people who want to make as much money as they possibly can on the backs of their workers. And it's not going to end well in any sense of the word. You can't have all these folks come into a system and that's already broken, and they have no other choice but to be put into it and access it. The healthcare system is awful. If you have Medicaid or Medicare, good luck seeing a doctor at this point, Obamacare or not. Then you're going to add in, how many people? I don't even know. 30 million? I don't even know how many people are in there now. It just keeps growing. And I think it's been going on for over a year. They're just now publicizing it. So this isn't a new wave. It's just been constant. Now it's on the radar. But if you add these guys into Medicaid, and the state budget is already stretched and they can't even afford to take care of the Medicaid patients that they have, these guys technically aren't eligible for Obamacare because they're not citizens. Where do they go? Who takes care of them? I mean, this is just a perfect storm for ultimate failure. You have hospitals who can't even afford to stay open. The ones that signed up and thought they were going to get a payday really now know the government is going to cut their Medicare or Medicaid reimbursements, recoup money they already paid them based on their their contracted recovery audit program. You've got doctors who have run from their private practices into the hospital setting. And, you know, a long time ago, we talked about this. Once the hospitals that are left fill up their quota of doctors that they need on staff and their accountable care doctors, there's going to be a whole range of doctors who don't have anywhere to go if they don't have a private practice. That's the system, by definition, is creating a false lax or scarcity. Scarcity of physicians, scarcity of hospitals to go to, scarcity of, you know, services that are going to be offered. And there's going to be a whole ton of people with left out in the cold where I'm really sick, but I can't get into a hospital. I can't find a doctor to treat me. I got kicked out of the hospital because of the diagnostic related group. And, you know, Medicare says I should only be in there for 10 days with pneumonia. And when it's day 11, adios. What kind of, forget about coverage, because coverage is not the problem. It's just like the salt issue. Salt doesn't mean anything. If you lower the salt content in fast food, people will still be having high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity. It's not the main problem. Just like the having health insurance is not the main problem. It's endemically corrupt. It is built to fleece people, basically keep them on some sort of medication daily for the rest of their lives. Too sick to really be functional, but not sick enough to be in the hospital. Just sick enough to shut the hell up and just do what you're told. You know, while they totally overwhelm the system with, everybody knows, I don't care if you're black, white, green at this point, is if you've got a pulse and you're paying any attention, you must realize that there's something really wrong going on here. Something's broken. Something's not right. There's no way that the president's approval ratings can go down to this level unless every group is unhappy. I mean, you must have, the only people that must like it now are the people who are getting something from the system or working for the government, and they're immune and they're walled off. That's the only people that could be happy at this point.
You know, like you said, you brought up the approval rating, and you see it right in front of you, and yet there's still 50 some odd percent. One, either don't know or they just don't care, you know. So what is approval rating is only 30% or 36% and 60% against them or whatever, mm-hmm. or disapprove. Well, it doesn't affect my day-to-day life, so I don't care.
Well, the only people who could think that is if they don't work and they don't have to make a living and they don't have to literally go out and create their wealth. Those people, only people who could think that. If somebody is getting a free phone, rent, food, education, supposedly health care, they don't have to care because they have somebody just go to your mailbox once a month, get your EBT card out, and life is awesome. You know, they're paying you 2,000 minutes, I think 200 minutes a month on these cell phones, and you can text whatever you want. And my joke is, I bet NSA is all over that. But anyway. Nothing's for free, right? But I mean, why do you care? You're like, I'm getting paid. It costs. You make more by being in this system at this point, because it's going to be over soon. As soon as they get it all works the same way. As soon as you get the quota in, as soon as you lock down the doors, as soon as you get your perfect number, then the knives come out. It's all sugar and sweet at the beginning, and then you're going to get screwed. Happened to doctors. We were dumb enough to think, oh, I'll just let the insurance companies pay. Dumb as all get out. And everything was great back in, what, 1980, until they got the quota of doctors in there. They locked the ones down. they started to change the education of doctors so that people didn't want to open a shingle, that they wanted to work 9 to 5, that they just wanted, and they just wanted to do their thing and go home, and when it's 5:01, I'm off the clock. That's not how medicine works, but that's how residents have been trained. So it's ingenious and devious and just diabolical all at the same time. You're in this system where you can't see out unless you have a critical thinking gene, or you've really been hurt so badly that you're not inclined, and you're a fighter. And you say, I'm not going down like this. Those are the only people really who really get this at this point. And the rest of the people, or the majority, it seems, I think there's a silent majority, to tell you the truth, who just aren't talking up, who aren't happy, who really are just doing their thing and not being in the system. But they're never going to tell you this, because if you really thought that I'm not alone, you would fight more. But it's the overwhelming, why bother, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference mentality that's drummed in from the get-go, from the time these kids are in grade school to the time that they become workers if they go to corporate America. Just be drone. Just be part of it. Don't stick your head up, because it's going to get lopped off.
Just as you were talking, the border situation is a crisis. There's another horrendous crisis brewing, and we're only weeks away from it. That's going to affect most everyone, even if they're on the EBT cards or whatever they're called, and like you said, checking their mailbox. We've got, and you know, it's. I can't help but have a conspiracy feeling with this situation in Iraq. And they keep saying, you know, that it's already affected our oil prices. The fact is, we don't get any oil from Iraq.
I know. So why should it? I know.
But,
yeah.
Within the next 2 weeks, next month, this is only my prediction, but I'll tell you off mic why. We're going to have gas that's $4.50, $5 a gallon, and could easily go to $7 a gallon. And this is within the next couple of months, at the outside. That's going to get a lot of folks' attention.
It didn't last time. It's already been up there. And it didn't do anything except people could line up and get the gas and not complain about it. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. FollowSniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, before the break, we were drawing parallels between this creation of chaos on all fronts. I mean, from a healthcare perspective, to take a system that wasn't fabulous to begin with, but to completely decimate it while they're telling you that they're making it better when it's obviously not, then, I mean, yesterday there's an article that says of the 30 million new insured that was supposed to come online under Obamacare, 20 million people, I think it's even more, maybe it's 25, are not even covered. They're still out in the cold. And then you add in some of that number are people who were stable, who are now unstable. And they had their insurance, they could afford it, they liked it. Now they're unstable, they can't afford their premiums, they may be sick and they can't get coverage, they can't get help, and they're dying. So how does a system work like that?
Are you hearing response from ER, hospital ERs, of we're getting more and more? And
they are getting more people. They're getting the same folks that still can't pay. I mean, they may get a few more that's got Obamacare, but that's just Medicaid. And there's I get emails from Medicare, and they're constantly new ones coming in about medical necessity, new guidelines for medical necessity. The coverage is being decreased. They are making so many new rules and regulations that are designed to deny care, and by definition, put the doctors and the hospitals on the front line of getting audited, getting arrested, getting put out of business. This is not a healthcare system anymore. It's an extension of the police state. They don't really care whether your patients are healthy or not. What they care is that you code properly. All the hospitals care, but they have whole case management systems within the hospitals that are the layer between the doctor and the patient. They literally come in and your patient gets admitted. One of the first people to see them is the case manager, which is a nurse, a specialized nurse. And they're looking at your documentation, what the disease is, what medicines you put them on. I mean, one of the doctors came on and talked about the algorithms in the hospitals now. If you come in with a heart attack, you have a certain schedule of things that have to happen. They have nothing to do with your heart attack. It's one size fits all. You get tested. You get your vaccines. That's number one. They don't tell you. They just, are you up to date on your pneumococcal vaccine and this vaccine and that vaccine? And they just shoot your butt up. They don't tell your family. They don't tell you because it has to be given in their checklist. So there you go. You're sick as dog. You're in the ICU and they're shooting you up with a vaccine that potentially can decrease your immune response or rev it up so much that it becomes a problem, toxic. Then you have to get treated for possible MRSA, which is the methicillin-resistant staph. So they put you on vancomycin, which is really toxic. Only time we ever use that antibiotic is when we had to, when it was resistant to everything else and that was your only game in town. That's like the first drug of choice until you screen out from the MRSA. But that can cause hearing loss, ringing, kidney damage. I mean, this is the system that we're talking about, and it's expensive. So by the time we do all this workup, you've got millions of dollars on the hook that you probably didn't need. If the doctor actually examined the patient, made their own treatment plan, it would be a heck of a lot cheaper than what goes on when you just walk into the hospital. These are standard. I don't care if it's you or me. If we walk in and we're unconscious, this is what happens to us. If you come in with chest pain, you get troponin levels and you get admitted. I mean, it's like a protocol. Maybe reflux, you know, you may have gastritis. You have to rule out for cardiac first. And after you spend the $1 million there, then they call the GI doctor or whatever, instead of thinking about the disease process, examining the patient and not calling consults 24/7. I told you, I've been in hospitals where it's earwax or, you know, did they look in? I can't remember if they did or not, but they called an ENT consult. And I said, well, I asked them, did they look? They didn't know it was earwax, but it was. They didn't look. I don't have an otoscope. You call an ENT consult. The hospital gets the bill for it. This is all a system designed to have winners and losers, and the losers are the patients and the doctors. That's the only standard answer, whether you're inpatient, accountable care organization, or a doctor working for a big group. This is a two-tier system, Dave. It's already here. People need to understand that. If you really care about your health, one, stay healthy. That's number one. And two, start making choices about the doctors that you see. Anybody who's on staff, on salary, is somehow satellite affiliated with a hospital, has lost control of their healthcare decisions. They don't have it. That's what accountable care means. It means the hospital protocol is extended to the private setting, out to the clinics, out to the doctors, because they're all part of the same system, WellStar, Piedmont Healthcare, whatever your state is or your city, I'm sure you have a healthcare system in it. And that's what drives the care. And they all technically communicate with an EMR. So if I want to put you on amoxicillin and the protocol states by your hospital guidelines it should be erythromycin, I could be in trouble because if I'm going outside the treatment plan. And they won't even let you because if you have an electronic medical record system, you try to write the prescription, it'll kick it back until you give it the right answer, and then the prescription gets generated. And, of course, they don't want you to write a prescription by hand. It all has to be going through this system. Monitoring. Coding. So they can bill it. It's the same thing out in the real world now. If you now have, you know, those little kids with the lemonade stands and the selling your clothing in your yard, your garage sale, those are all illegal because they can't track that money because it's outside the grid. This is what they're doing. And, you know, we talked about the people coming across the border. They are being used. They don't care about those people. They don't care. If they did, they would not allow this to happen. They wouldn't allow the border control, the border system, the security of it to just break down. I mean, I think there are people leaving because they know that they're not even doing their jobs anymore. And I saw an email where they're looking for 49,000 pairs of underwear. Is that what it's come down to? Is that what border control is? They're going to Walmart to pick up underwear for people? I mean, changing diapers? I mean, talk about breaking morale. Talk about breaking morale of the military. It seems to me that any system that is supposed to protect us, they're overwhelming it, they're undermining it, they're treating it as if it's criminal, and they want the good people to leave. It's working, unfortunately. And the soldiers who've given their lives, their bodies, their minds for this for us to be safe, I can't even imagine what they're thinking when Iraq has gone to hell in a handbasket, and Fallujah's gone, and Mosul's gone, and all these things are gone, and they lost buddy. I did talk to one person who lost a buddy, and he said it hurts. You know, and I'm sure he put a lid on it, you know, just to make it palatable for me to hear. But can you imagine that? And no plans to fix it.
How about the guy that looks down and has no legs or looks down and has no arms or is in, you know, I guess I don't even want to get started on it.
It's complete disrespect on all levels for American people, no matter where you are, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're a soldier, whether you're a small business owner. They don't respect us. They don't care about what we think. And we're allowing them to run roughshod over us and tell us, you're not really seeing that, you know, what you just saw and what you just heard, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not rich. I only have two houses. I make $200,000 per speech. I have a book, but, you know, I'm really just like you. I really want her to say, I was born a poor black child. I swear, I'm waiting for her to say that. I'm not kidding. It's gotten to the point that it's so outrageous.
She was born in Arkansas.
Hey, she might be black. I don't know. But, I mean, this is what it comes down to. Just don't listen to what I say. My lips are moving, but it's what I say it is. Truth is what I deem it to be.
You know,
that is crazy.
This is the scary part, though, is the sheep that are accepting what's being said.
I don't think that we are. I just think we don't have a voice because we're allowing the media to dictate. And, you know, a lot of things go on, like the bikers who went up to D.C., the truckers, that never gets put on the news.
No.
Never. So there are people doing things and people who are deciding, you know what, I'm going to stay local. I'm going to pay for more for something that's created in America.
You know, there are idiots that own radio stations, internet radio stations, that see an increase. I don't mind telling you, this month we will hit 80,000 visits to our website. We're beginning to make a difference. People are coming to us to listen to your show and our other shows that are telling the truth.
You know, thank God. And the truth wins out. No matter how much they try to pull the wool over and make this chaos and create subterfuge, the truth does come out. You can't hide it. You know, the fact that they're working against us and not with us should let us know something. And the hypocrisy on Capitol Hill is astounding. The fact that the Congress can sit there and woe is me, I don't know, we can't do anything. You're Congress. You pass laws. What do all day? Just run for the next election? Just put your finger on the scale so much that everybody loses except you? Is that all you do all day? Vote these people out. I don't understand how. The Mississippi election is just it's classic for people voting against their interests. This guy's done nothing for Mississippi. They're still living in, they're still like number, you know, one of the last states in obesity, healthcare, you know, the average income. It's not like it's making in any headway. They had a chance to actually change the game a little bit. And this guy just says, I love you, and they just vote for you. I don't get that. But you know, it's the Tea Party guy's fault too, because he should have reached out to everybody. Instead of just, you need to talk to people who don't agree with you, not just the people that do. We get it. But the people who have been indoctrinated over and over by people, stations like MSNBC, I swear, if I ever go on that station, it's like going back into the 50s. It's like black people are still slaves. We are on the plantation. We need reparations. It's just the same mindset. It's complete victimhood. And it's 24/7. I mean, these are people who are making six figures, who went to Ivy League school, who are living large, telling you how bad it is to be black. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to me. And the white people on that station saying, well, all white people are just evil. And it's because of them that black people don't and other minorities don't do well. It is unconscionable. And that is the mentality that we are allowing to pervade or have the voice in society. I totally don't agree with it. Yeah, there's racism. Yes, there's sexism. But you know what? I'd rather be here than in England or France or any other country in the world, because at least if I have a brain and some guts, I can make it work. On that note, you're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Follow Sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we're talking about the hypocrisy of this, and it just, it astounds me. I mean, I made the joke about, you know, being a poor black child, but it goes on. I mean, so we have people like Elizabeth Warren, who's in Congress now, saying or mentioning, I don't think she tried to pass a law, but she definitely had the mindset of no Congress people should have stocks. Meanwhile, she's got stocks worth $8 million. You have, you know, the usual suspects, Hillary Clinton claiming poor while she's making money. Out the yin yang. She breathes and she makes money. Go figure. And you've got Joe Biden saying, I don't have a savings account. He's been on the government dole since, what, in his 20s, since he got into Congress. He hasn't had to pay anything. He hasn't had to work, really, and he's got no savings? I find that really hard to believe. I mean, these statements are so over the top that everybody should look at them. I'm not saying it. It would be funny if it didn't affect all of us. So all the people talking about income equality and, you know, how the women should make just as much as men, blah, 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 while in the government, in this administration, women make less than men. You know, if it's income equality, why don't you start with your administration? That's not happening.
The fact over on Capitol Hill, I don't think there's I don't think a lady senator or lady representative.
No, they make the same amount of money.
Yeah.
And they keep voting themselves raises. Go figure that one, too.
I voted myself a raise, and the company that I work for just laughed at me.
Yeah, I got zero. I mean, it's just, it's comical that they can sit there, claim that they're powerless. This is my favorite. I'm powerless to do anything. I'm powerless to change the fact that the government is going on the wrong track. That, let's go back to the vaccine issue for a minute, that there are studies coming out daily about how the vaccines are not working the way they're supposed to. There was one article, and I think it was one of the scientists that worked in the pharmaceutical company that said the mumps vaccine doesn't work. The strain that they used is so old that it doesn't create enough antigen power to create a vaccine that's going to cover you. Nothing's being done about that. Another Merck vaccine worker, scientist, admitted that they put SV40, which is the simian leukemia virus, in the polio vaccine. He admitted it. Now we have people who got polio vaccine when they were, back in the 50s, who now have sarcomas and all sorts of cancers. We now have a government who's aiding and abetting. I'm just looking at an article here that's talking about new guidelines, government guidelines, that'll make it easier for 13 million more people to be put on statin drugs. That's the cholesterol-lowering drugs, whether or not their cholesterol is high. This is, it's a mafia, it's a cartel, it's a cabal at this point. You have the food industry going wholesale into genetically modified food, never been tested. But studies are now coming out that it causes all sorts of problems, from tumors to problems with fertility, to autism, to cancer, on lab mice, on, you know, laboratory animals, but it's never been tested on humans. And ultimately, what we're doing is putting Roundup in our body. You know, this is glyphosate. That's the chemical that I'm speaking about. It's in genetically modified corn, genetically modified wheat. Now they want to come with a genetically modified banana that gives you more vitamin A. Why don't you leave nature alone? Because when you start pissing off nature, it's going to come back at you, and it's not going to be good. Just like inserting these genes genetically modified means so many things. Not only putting herbicides, pesticides into the seed to make it less susceptible to, you know, weed growth, but also genes from insects, synthetic genes that have been created in the lab. No one knows what those will do. Artificial intelligence, all the stuff they're trying to make into a sci-fi like it's awesome. Why don't you try watching Battlestar Galactica? Or watch some of these sci-fi movies. They don't end well for human beings. And it's predictive programming. So it's not cool to have a chip implanted so you can play video games or you can see your computer by just, you know, looking left. I mean, does that make sense to you? Do you really want these things incorporated into your system? Because once they're in, they can't be removed. And they change things irreversibly. So the fact that the government is spending wasting time with salt instead of genetically modified foods, and it's actively trying to avoid labeling genetically modified, it's working against us. It's not working for us. The same way that the airline thing I told you about a couple weeks ago, where they want to shut down an airline that's going to come in and really be competition for international travel. Isn't this capitalism at work? You compete. You don't set the game so only you win the monopoly. You actually have to compete. If they came in, it would really change the game for Delta and United and all the big airlines that have merged. Bigger is not better. That's the moral of this story. Bigger is not better. When it's individualized, when you can make a change on the fly, when you can want to get up and do something different because you want to succeed, you want to be successful, and there's nobody working against you to stop you, that's when innovation comes in. That's when it becomes cheaper. That's when it's fun to live. It's not fun anymore. You're just inundated. No wonder people play video games all the time, because if you actually watch, really paid attention to what's going on, it's very depressing. But you can still make a difference.
Let me ask you, do you think weeds in a garden are bad?
No, it's just a cosmetic thing, isn't it?
You know, there used to be a saying in the organic food industry, health food industry, if it's not good enough for a weed, how can it be good enough for a crop that you want to grow? If the corn that you want to grow gets its nutrition from the same soil that the weed does. So if you put something in the soil to kill the weed, I rest my case. It may not kill the corn, but the corn's still getting the same, like you said, the same herbicide that the weed got to kill it.
Right.
And then who eats it?
We do. And in one article, one scientist said DDT, he'd rather have ingest DDT than glyphosate. That's how bad it is. We don't even know the extent of it. I mean, it took 20 years or so for people who are exposed to DDT to get sick. People are getting sick from this now. So it's taking out the gut flora. Let's look at this in a different way. People think about autism as being caused by vaccines. And there's argument back and forth as to whether that's the case. There are studies that show that it's not, that is multiple things that cause autism. One could be mercury and aluminum in the vaccines. But it could also be our system. I mean, we've eaten so much crap. Between the genetically modified corn, the genetically modified wheat, and the explosion of gluten sensitivity. As soon as you eat these things, it takes out your normal flora. It messes with your GI tract. That is the first line of defense in your immune system, because 70% live in the gut. So if you now have a system that's broken, that it's like a sieve, that whatever you eat can actually get into the system and into the bloodstream and damage you, you no longer have a barrier, then it kind of makes sense now. And studies have shown that children who take probiotics and are really nutritionally sound, they're less likely to get autism than children who have issues with their GI tract, constant diarrhea, bloating, throwing up, what we call, sensitivity to milk and all those sorts of things. Those are all signs that your GI tract's not functioning properly. And there's a wave of docs who believe that if you want to give your child a vaccine, you should make darn well sure that you put them on probiotics before. Keep them on it if they're going to get their vaccine schedule, because it's going to lower their risk by 70 or 80% of getting autism. That's easy, and any parent can do that. And I fully, highly recommend that you do that, because the autism rate is now 1 in 50, where before it was, God, maybe it's even lower now. But it used to be like 1 in 300, and that's only about 10 years ago. So there's something going on with our food supply, with our vaccine schedule, with what the government is allowing to happen to us, while it puts its foot down on stupid things that don't matter. People who need to worry about salt are basically people with kidney problems, but the average person will urinate out extra fluid or an extra salt. The body has a way of getting rid of extra. So that's not really the problem. They should come down on them for the high fructose corn syrup. You know, they should come down on them for the genetically modified wheat in the bread, for the chemicals that you make plastic with that keeps the bread flexible. Even Subway took it out of their bread. So these are the things that the government should really be mandating that are not allowed in the food supply. You know, better yet, don't allow stuff to come in from China. They're allowing chicken to come in from China, the USDA, as if that's going to be a good thing. I can't even imagine what that's – I don't even want to know what their chickens are fed. I really don't.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point. You've been talking about genetically manufactured or genetically altered food. But we've had chemicals added to our meat, our steroid chickens, our, you know, and this has been going on for years and years.
And we're sick as dogs, too. The red and the redness that you see when you get a slice of beef or cut of beef from the supermarket, it's got nitrites in it. It's got ammonia in it. I mean, they soak this stuff in ammonia to kill the bacteria because it's so disgusting the way these poor animals are being raised for our food supply. They shove them all in small little areas. They all sit in their waste, and they wonder why E. coli is a problem. It's not the people. It's the way the animals are raised. So please be responsible. Start paying attention. Start reading. Start making choices that are healthy choices as opposed to it's easy or it's cheap, because you do get what you pay for, whether it's down the road or your children or your health. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Medicine on Call. And you can also follow me on DrElenaGeorge.com, my blog. Have a great week.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.